Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing cutting health insurance costs, overpaying at the pump, and the cheapest Thanksgiving sides.
That's right, Joel. This is our Friday Flight episode. We have a lot of interesting stories to get to this week that have to do with our money, that have to do with our personal finances. On Wednesday, you mentioned how you finally gave in. You got yourself that brand new phone. And last Friday, though, we talked about how Google Photos, by next year, they're going to stop offering unlimited free storage for Google users.
And that is true, Matthew, up until a point.
Why are you calling me Matthew?
I don't know.
I wish you had a full name that I could refer to.
No, I don't. It's short. But for anybody who has a Pixel phone, they're still essentially grandfathered in into the unlimited Google photo storage thing. And so it seems like I bought my phone at the perfect time. I didn't even know that when I purchased. And then this came out and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm a Pixel user.
Another win for those Pixel phone users out there like you.
And yeah, it's just a great phone. I'm really liking it so far.
Yeah, yeah. Dig it.
Yeah, and with the free photo storage on top of it, that makes me happy.
I will say, it's really interesting. So your screen, like, it has the forward-facing camera over in the corner, and the screen is cut out around it. And yeah, it doesn't even look real almost. You know, like the default photo that comes on the wallpaper. It almost looks like paper. Like, it looks like a little hole punch. It's just pretty cool. I know when they were making phones back when they manufactured my phone, you couldn't put the camera anywhere near the screen.
No.
it's like way up here on the bezel.
They've definitely gotten way better at getting like closer to bezel-less. But yeah, they're doing weird things with phones now too. How do you feel about the flip phones? I feel like that's that feels like a stunt to me. But
you know, actually, I recently came across, I don't know what it's called.
But I don't mean flip phones. I mean the folding, I guess, screens.
The folding screen ones. Yeah, I mean, it feels gimmicky in the same way that there's the phone that has the camera that raises up from the phone.
Right.
It seems so ridiculous.
It's all about getting like the closest to bezel-less as possible, which to me it feels like, who cares?
Well, the one where the camera goes up, it's almost like this old Sidekick. Did you ever have one of those?
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I've never had one, but
like it would slide up, you know, it's like, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, I remember them for sure. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm still rocking the old phone. Actually, I dropped it again recently, so my screen is even more shattered.
So don't be like Matt. Get a case on your phone if you drop it frequently. I don't have a case, but I don't drop it like you do.
Well, that's the thing, though. I don't, like, I'm willing to live with the cracks. It's just kind of like, oh, I can't believe I did that again. It's so old, it doesn't really matter. There's a new phone on my horizon for sure.
If you get a new one, you're going to put a case on it, I bet, though.
I think so.
Yeah, I would think
I'm going to be, I'm going to completely change my attitude. Like right now, I treat my phone like my keys. I throw it in my pocket. When I take it out, I throw it on the table. I really do treat it like my keys or my wallet. It's something that I'm able just to kind of toss around. But whenever I get a new phone, yes, not only, I'm sure it'll be slightly bigger, but it'll feel more like a tablet. I'm definitely going to treat it better, maybe even get a case for it.
Okay, all right.
Well, I know that's the smart thing to do, but I hate cases.
No, I do too. I can't do the case, but I also don't toss my phone around.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on to our Friday Flight. The stories that we found interesting this week that have to do with our personal finances. And Matt, the first thing we want to talk about, man, there was an article in CNBC, and it reminded me of something I don't think we've ever mentioned on the show before, that most people should not be spending extra money to put premium gas in their cars. And especially with a lot of people hitting the road around Thanksgiving, maybe to go see relatives, or maybe just getting away from their house for a while because they've been stuck there. Well, they might be tempted to put in a nicer version of gasoline that they don't actually need to put in their vehicle. And data from the American Automobile Association found that Americans are wasting $2 billion a year buying premium gasoline that they don't need. And I didn't know
it's
it was called
money.
This. Yeah, it's called the gas gap. Apparently, the gas gap has grown.
Like not unlike the wage gap.
Yeah, right. So when we were kids, you remember when gas was? It was like between tiers. It was 10 cents more essentially per gallon.
Yeah, the good old days, man.
Now the gas gap, that tier, has widened. It's gotten bigger, and so you could be paying 50 or 60 cents a gallon more if you're filling up your car with premium instead of regular unleaded in most of the country. So every fill up could literally be costing you an extra $10 or so, maybe more if you're putting in fancy gas that your car doesn't need.
Yeah, think about all the roller food that you could be getting from the gas station,
right?
Instead of spending that on gas that you don't need.
That's right. Get a hot dog instead.
What, Chiquito?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I think so.
I don't know. I feel like I just made it up.
Taquito?
I think that's what I was thinking of.
That's
it's like a little cigar-shaped taco.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a burrito, not a taco, a taquito. But yeah, some folks, obviously, you know, that have fancier cars with higher performance, obviously are going to need the premium gas, but I think a lot of folks don't need that, and they think that they are just kind of doing something better for their engine by putting the nicer gas in, right?
Being nice to their car.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And so if you're not sure what kind of gas your car needs, make sure to look it up in the owner's manual or online. Sometimes it even says it right there on the inside of the fuel tank door. They make it really easy. And so if your car doesn't require it, you aren't doing your car a favor by putting in nicer gas. You are just wasting money. And something else too, as more folks are hitting the road, don't speed. We're talking about different ways to maybe save a few bucks here and there as more of us might be traveling over the coming, you know, 10 days or so. But making sure that you're driving carefully, making sure that you've given yourself enough time to get to wherever you need to get to, avoiding distractions. These are all easy ways to make sure that you don't get a ticket, which obviously costs you tons of money, right? If you get a speeding ticket because you're not paying attention, you're having a conversation, maybe an engaging conversation with a family member as you're driving to their parents' house, it could be easy to speed. And so the bummer about getting speeding tickets, right, is that not only do you have to pay that ticket, but there's a good chance you're also going to see your insurance rates go up because of that speeding ticket.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're taking care of your family and those in your car, that you're taking care of others on the road, but also you don't have to fork out that extra money because you're going a little too fast or maybe because you're distracted.
Yeah, and you're going to mess up your fuel economy if you're going too fast too, right? If you're going 85 or 90 miles an hour, like you're
95 like Joel likes to.
you're risking obviously the speeding ticket, but at the same time, you're not being as economical with your gas usage. All right, Matt, let's move on. I think for a lot of people hitting the road too, getting a COVID test might be something that they're doing in order to make sure that they're keeping their loved ones safe if they're getting together for Thanksgiving. And it's really important to make sure that you don't get stuck with a huge bill by going to get a free COVID test. And that sounds kind of weird that you might potentially get a bill for it, but some people are, and they're getting really expensive bills just for getting a COVID test. We talked about that back in the spring, kind of the surprise bills that people were getting after getting a simple test, and the CARES Act ensured that COVID testing would be free. But the Department of Health and Human Services has resources based on what state you live in to ensure free testing, including people who are uninsured. We'll put a link to that in our show notes. If you're unsure where to go.
Or if you're uninsured.
Like uninsured or uninsured. Either way, you're going to want to go to that website, check out that link in order to find the testing resources near you that are definitely 100% free.
Nice. Well, speaking of our health, we're smack in the middle of open enrollment. And so now is a great time to talk about how you might be overpaying for health insurance with your employer. Now, most employers pay a large percentage of their employees' premiums, so it's a massive win, right? This is one of the benefits that employees receive. But that may not be a benefit that some are receiving, and they're just assuming that their work sponsor plan is the best deal. But if you're part of a group that doesn't have a whole lot of bargaining power, or maybe you just have a smaller company and they're just not able to contribute as much to your insurance premiums, you could find that even your work sponsor plan could be a bit cost prohibitive, could be a bit expensive. So be sure to shop around. Get a quote for an individual policy on the healthcare exchange, and you might find there's big savings to be had, especially if you are in great health. So make sure you're doing that this open enrollment season and that you're not just basically auto-renewing your health insurance with your employer.
Yeah, Matt, we were just talking about gasoline, right? And the big money saver from not speeding is avoiding the ticket. And in a similar way, shopping your health insurance plan, that's a big money saver potential, right? You could save hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year by shopping around and finding a cheaper plan that works better for you. And according to Get America Covered, they're a nonprofit advocating for health coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Two-thirds of customers on healthcare.gov can find plans for $10 a month or less.
That's really affordable.
Yeah. That actually blew me away when I saw that. I was like, that doesn't seem possible, but apparently it is. So that's obviously crazy affordable for a lot of folks. And it's a shame that most people aren't talking about it. Without getting too political here, one of the reasons more folks aren't talking about it is because the federal government slashed funds for marketing and outreach of Obamacare by 90%. So that's why we're talking about it. We want to make sure people hear about the money-saving options that are out there if you are looking for healthcare coverage on the exchange. And in particular, Matt, with what's happened to a lot of families economically this year, if you've lost your job, if you've been furloughed, if your income's been cut, shopping for healthcare coverage on the exchange could save you a ton. You might qualify for a lot of subsidies that you didn't know you qualified for.
Yeah, that's right. You could be eligible for a larger tax credit. It's sort of like we've, again, talked about this previously when it comes to the FAFSA and student aid packages that students are receiving from colleges. But make sure they have your most immediate up-to-date information, right? Your most recent financial information, because that could have an impact on the benefits that are offered to you. And in addition to healthcare.gov or your state exchange, an alternative out there for healthcare are the different healthcare sharing plans. These companies aren't technically insurance, but they behave really similarly, and they're able to get costs down as the customers or the different members agree to healthy behaviors that bring down the overall costs and the overall expenses incurred. Sedera is one of the newer ones that that doesn't have a religious affiliation. My family has been with MediShare for years now, and it's worked really well for us. But we're mentioning that because we want folks to know that there are options for you out there. You might feel that you're tied to your job, maybe a job that you don't enjoy, or a job that's not paying you well because of the fact that you have health insurance through them. But know that there are options out there on the exchange through healthcare.gov. But there's also these non-traditional alternatives as well. We'll make sure to link to an article on the website as well, talking about how MediShare has worked out for us.
Yeah, man, I feel like the health sharing companies, people have different takes on whether or not they're a good idea. They're obviously not the exact same thing as health insurance. And that's right. A really important thing to point out. But for
technically insurance, and it's not for everybody.
Right. But if you do go to healthcare.gov and you realize that the price for traditional insurance is something that you cannot afford, the costs are just overwhelming, then health sharing is a decent alternative for a lot of people, I think. And Matt, before we go to the break, I wanted to ask you about Tesla. They're joining the S&P 500.
I saw that.
Yeah, next month. So do you care about that at all? I mean, there was some chatter in the Facebook group about it, and I was just wondering, is this something that's on your radar, or is it kind of like a non-story for you?
Well, I did see that just the news of that caused the stock to bump up even more, and how Elon Musk, his net worth, he just basically jumped over Zuckerberg.
Wow.
with that one headline. But no, I don't really care all that much, man. Obviously, you and I, we invest for the long haul. You know, we're in it for the long term. And market news like this doesn't really affect how we invest. I'm actually almost not looking forward to it to a certain extent, because there's a lot of volatility with Tesla, right? Like, people are buying it. People are saying it's overvalued. And then, it, you know, you see it drop some. And then there's news, you know, they launch a new rocket, and and their stock prices reflect that as well. It shoots up. And so obviously this is just one company that's going to be a part of the S&P 500, but it's a big company and they throw around a lot of weight. And so I think it could affect the day-to-day market sort of gyrations. But again, am I concerned with that? No. Like it's interesting, and I'm actually kind of glad to see that Tesla is a part of the S&P 500, because all of my retirement money is within VOO, V-O-O, which is, it's not the total stock market index fund, but it's the S&P 500 index fund. So I guess I am excited to see some of that hopeful growth due to Tesla within my own retirement.
Yeah, there have been a lot of stories written in the past few months about Tesla. Was it a bubble, especially before they did their stock split? A lot of investors were even short selling Tesla stock. And obviously that came back to blow up in their faces. I agree. I think it's not really on my radar in a big way. But I will say, for people who do own, you know, a fund that mirrors the S&P 500, having Tesla in there, I think, is a good thing. Because I do think Tesla is a good company that will continue to innovate and push the envelope.
Yes.
And I think it's a good business to invest in. So having them in my portfolio, at least passively, I'm all for.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, I'm not willing to go out there and buy Tesla stock, you know, single stock investing, because that's just not how I roll. I'm not willing to take on that risk. But I am glad to see that I have a small portion of that now
in
my portfolio.
Little sliver.
Yes, exactly. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to some more stories, Matt, including a new era in how real estate closings are done and whether now is a good time or not to start a business. We'll talk about that right after this break.
All right, man, we are back from the break. And before we kind of dive into like the real headlines, I saw that Zippia, they created this map listing the most popular Thanksgiving sides by state. And apparently mac and cheese is number one in Georgia, along with like South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. It kind of like goes up the coast. It's kind of interesting.
The old Sun Belt. We love the mac and cheese down here.
Makes sense. You know, I am a huge fan of mac and cheese, but like, honestly, mac and cheese doesn't really feel like a Thanksgiving side. It's not one of those traditionals. Like, to me, mac and cheese is more of a barbecue side. Like, if I have some barbecue going on, I want some mac and cheese.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's like the perfect combination.
But I'm not going to be mad at it on Thanksgiving, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to not eat it. But in my mind, it's not like a traditional Thanksgiving side. It's not like green bean casserole or something like that, which is like classic Thanksgiving.
So what is your number one Thanksgiving side?
Like I said, green bean casserole, I'm a fan of that, stuffing. My in-laws, they make this thing called green rice, and it's a combination of rice, but it's cheesy as well. And then it's green because there's broccoli in it. And so it's sort of like this kind of combination of, you know, a side of broccoli plus rice, maybe a little bit of mac and cheese thrown in there as well. It's got the cheesy aspect.
The whole kit and caboodle.
But it's not like the whole chunk of broccoli, right? There's no stems. It's kind of like just the florets or the flowerettes. So I feel like that's a more unique one, but... Even as I get older, too, I remember as a kid hating cranberry sauce or cranberry jelly.
My dad's the only one in our family who like digs it. So,
really? Yeah. Well, as I get older, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm totally turning into a dad because I'm like, pass me some of that cranberry sauce. Like, it goes well with the turkey. You know, it's a good combination of flavors. And it's one of many things that makes me realize I'm getting older. So.
All right. Well, I think mashed potatoes, that's my number one.
Is that your go-to?
Yeah. I also saw that rolls were the most popular side in some states.
Gross.
I love a good roll, but I'm going to say it doesn't feel like a side. It feels like something else. Like when I think of the sides, like I'm thinking about the stuffing, the green bean casserole, the mashed potatoes.
Something in a glass casserole.
Yes,
dish,
exactly. Right? I'm like, rolls aren't really a side in the same way that those things are.
And it just depends on how it's done. You know, like I've had terrible examples of all the different sides out there. But if you get a side that I've never heard of, that's kind of weird, but you do it really well, then that makes all the difference in the world. You know, like I've had really bad mac and cheese, but I've also, like, Kate makes amazing mac and cheese with the giant shells and tons of butter. It's terrible for you, it is so delicious.
You can definitely screw up mac and cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
you can make it not worth eating. Yeah. All right. Well, while we're talking about food, Matt, let's talk about grocery store restrictions. And grocery stores around the country are starting to impose new restrictions on purchases again. And that's because shoppers are specifically looking for certain items, and there's a little bit of panic buying, just like we saw in the spring, starting to happen again. Toilet paper is apparently getting harder to find on a lot of shelves. I saw this firsthand recently at Costco. No Kirkland Signature toilet paper on the shelves again. So it was only the name brand stuff. So, of course, I was like, no, I'm good. But
no number two for Joel's family for 2 weeks.
That's right. Got to hold it until that stuff gets back in stock. But early on in the pandemic, there were limits on so many popular items like eggs, milk, diapers, baby formula, all that kind of stuff. Mm. It's probably a good idea that we start limiting the purchases of popular, necessary items before things get out of control again, before the shelves are just barren for weeks on end, right? And just important to note, too, that panic buying actually just kind of fuels the scarcity. The grocery stores are certainly more prepared than they were back in March, but buy only what you need. Don't go overboard. I think that's part of the problem is we exacerbate the problem when we buy stuff that we don't actually need because we're worried that there's not going to be enough. And so, yeah, let's all just take a deep breath, buy toilet paper when you need it, but don't buy too much and stick to the restrictions that are in place.
Yeah, and speaking of restrictions too, I saw that Walmart and other stores as well, they're starting to institute, they're limiting the number of folks that they're allowing into the stores again. Like, that's something that they did back in the spring, but, you know, over the summer, early fall, is something that they've not done. So if you go to the store and you see a line out the door, don't be surprised. That's why. We also saw that real estate closing. So if you are refinancing a home, if you're buying a home, they are more and more these days, they're going virtual. Finally, right? After the recent election and, you know, some of the issues, counting votes, it surprises me why we're not voting online or, you know, on our phones as well. Like, there is so much that we can do with secure technology on our devices instead of having to show up in person.
And when you look at some of the stories about how votes are being counted, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so archaic.
Well, yeah. We live here in Georgia where they are recounting every vote by hand.
Oh, we forgot a hard drive. We forgot a thumb drive, though. We forgot to upload it. So even with technology, sometimes there's mistakes.
Yeah, that's true. So at least, you know, the pandemic is prodding a change to being able to close on a refinance or a home purchase from the comfort of your own home. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, Joel, you even kind of refinanced and you had to show up in person. You had to, didn't you? You signed the documents in your car.
In the car. Yeah, it was weird.
It felt like you're at like an old timey, like drive-in restaurant, like a Sonic. They pull up on roller skates.
The car hop comes out. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And so it wasn't too bad, but I sure hope that virtual real estate closings become the norm because there was no reason for me to have to leave my house. I mean, you're used to signing all sorts of documents now with things like DocLoop and DocuSign. And finally, those are becoming more mainstream and closing attorneys are becoming more willing to let people do closings from their home. And obviously, it just makes a lot of sense. It's going to save people a lot of hassle. No reason to drive your car over there and sign physical forms, you know, while you're in your car. So it's a sign of progress. And I hope that anybody who is refinancing, we've talked about rates and how they've continued to sink. It's a good time for a lot of people to refinance. Hopefully, it means you can finish everything off from your house.
Yeah, so obviously the pandemic has accelerated, you know, this movement towards this, but I think companies too, like Better.com, Rocket Mortgage, these online competitors have caused a lot of traditional in-person sort of type lenders that, you know, that would typically require a closing in person. I think it's caused a lot of them to kind of rethink how they've been doing things as well.
Yeah. Competition breeds progress.
Progress and efficiency, man. Let's talk about getting paid, okay? Gig economy companies like Uber and even Airbnb are changing workers' perceptions on what it means to get paid in a timely manner. Right, with like more traditional employers, it can take up to a week for payroll to process and maybe for the check to clear. And so fintech companies have been springing up around the idea of giving workers access to their money more quickly, basically instantly, right? One of the biggest companies here in the States is Earnin, which has been popular with its users, but there have also been critics as well.
Yeah, and the critics have basically said it functions kind of like a payday loan. There's a suggested tip amount if you're using the Earnin app, and if you pay that, you know, the interest rate that you're paying to access your money early can be exorbitant, right? But basically, these companies are providing a small advance on individual paychecks. And according to the Harvard Business Review, one of the big arguments in favor of these fintech companies providing this service to employees is that it saves employers a ton every year because there's less employee turnover. At one company in particular, a company called Salary Finance, turnover was apparently 28% lower among active users than in prior years, right? This could save a large employer millions of dollars every year. Basically, if they're able to get their employees paid on a daily basis as opposed to a bi-weekly basis. So it's no wonder that employers are starting to move in this direction. The technology is available, and if it increases their ability to keep great employees, then it's a win-win for everyone involved.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's definitely a win for the fintech companies, and it's a win for employers as well. But it may or may not be a win for the employees, even though it feels like it's a win, right? And that's because we talk about how there's never a free lunch.
Right. That's true.
It could cost individual employees, and this is why we're a bit more critical of it, you know? There's obviously a cost, and if your employer is footing the bill, then that's great. But in some instances, it falls to the employee. And man, one of the most important things in the world of personal finance is to have enough money in your bank account so that you don't need access to your pay right away, right? You can afford to wait a week because you've got some margin, you've got some cushion, you have an emergency fund there in your savings account. And so a delay, and when you get your paycheck, that shouldn't set off a panic in your household. And so, you know, while this instant access to your paycheck might become the norm thanks to these fintech companies, you shouldn't need that in order to get by.
Yeah, I think of it as like a crutch, essentially.
It's a Band-Aid to this wound, and that wound needs to be addressed, not just the bleeding.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, for people to get access to their money earlier means they spend it earlier, means they have zero cushion built up in their lives financially. And so, yeah, your employer might offer you something like this. And if they're footing the bill, if they're paying the additional fees in order to, you know, let you get access to your money earlier, I don't think it's a terrible thing. But at the same time, it means there's more required of you to have a decent emergency fund built up and not be relying on the fact that you get paid now on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's right. And on the note of figuring out how to get paid in employment, man, it turns out that small business startups are increasing at a startling rate. There's new data from the Census Bureau, and they show that 1.4 million new businesses were founded between June and September. It's crazy. And so, you know, while it's true that a lot of small businesses are really hurting due to the pandemic, it is really encouraging to see that there are there's a record-setting number of startups that are getting off the ground. This is the fastest period of business formation that we've seen in our country since 2006.
Yeah, that's good news, right?
Yeah, that's great, man.
It's positive, and there are always ebbs and flows. There are cycles in our economy, and obviously we've gone through a really tough cycle earlier this year, and a lot of small businesses still really having a difficult time. Many have shuttered for good. I certainly don't want to make light of that, but at the same time, there are a lot of people who have found that this is a really good time to start a new business, and sometimes the hardest economic times can be the best time to start a new business, and so those numbers are encouraging. They're encouraging for local communities. They're encouraging for the American economy as a whole. And Matt, we're actually going to talk a little bit more about this on Monday's episode with IP lawyer Kay Gruner. It's one thing to have a great idea for a new business, but it's another to make sure that you're doing it legally. So yeah, looking forward to having her on the show next week.
And she's not an internet protocol lawyer. She's an intellectual property lawyer.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So
yeah. So that's going to be it for this episode. And we hope that everyone has a good weekend as folks start to prepare for the Thanksgiving holiday, whether you are traveling or if you're going to be staying home. Joel, we saw that Zoom, they are waiving the, you know, they've got that 40-minute cap on their free calls. And on Thanksgiving, they're going to do away with that. So folks will be able to have virtual Thanksgiving with family that they are wanting to not see in person. That's a nice little bit of good news that you can start your weekend with. So
yeah, no doubt.
Listeners can find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com. And Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.